Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
If you are out there, whatever your dream is, you grind hard enough, you stay loyal to your process, you work at it and try and perfect your craft, whatever that is. You want to be the best Uber driver, you want to be a chef, a lawyer, a doctor, a secretary, whatever it is, a sportscaster, a little guy who grows up on the South Side, from humble origins. In the shadows of Comiskey Park, the old one, goes, man, I'm not good enough to play there. I want to broadcast their games. And he loves radio. He's a radio guy. And his name's Jonathan Hood. And he gets called into our boss's office and he says, Jonathan, what are you doing on Friday? No plans. Why? Would you like to be the analyst on the White Sox network Friday night? Calling the game, not the pregame, not the postgame, the game in the booth, doing a major league game in the pennant race in September, Boston Red Sox, Chicago White Sox. My friend, my partner is going to do that. Dude, it's amazing.
I am overjoyed and really happy to be able to get this assignment. As someone who loves the White Sox, and it's my team, and listening to White Sox baseball. Remember, like, for me, I don't know about you, but for me, you fall in love with baseball because of the radio call.
Mm-hmm.
It's always with you. You follow the team, the transistor radio underneath your pillow when you're supposed to be going to bed and you're listening to the West Coast feed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So listening to Harry and Jimmy and listening to Rooney and Wayne Hagen, Joe McConnell, the booming voice of Joe McConnell and Lorne
Brown.
And Lorne Brown, guys like that. It just, you know, I'm sitting in Darren Jackson's seat, and what's happening here is that Jason Benetti is going to be doing college football, and Len Casper will move over and do TV, and I'll be working with the great Connor McKnight. That's going to be fun, because I haven't worked with Connor before, but just the idea that I'll be able to do this next to Connor in the White Sox booth. Cap, I mean, that is a dream come true. That is, in many ways, a cherry on the sundae for me.
To see how happy you were when you were told, your parents are looking up or looking down, you're looking up to see them from up there, they're going to have a front row seat.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it. Red Sox, White Sox, a lot of history there between the two teams, and just to be able to broadcast there. I mean, look, it's not like I've never broadcast before. But this is, I mean, nothing against the UIC Flames, but this is, the top of the top when you're able to do Major League Baseball on the radio.
Yeah, and your favorite team.
Yeah, that's just awesome. So I'm just happy that Brooks Boyer.
It'd be cool if they said Baltimore and Detroit. You want to call the game? Sure, it's Major League Baseball.
Yep.
The White Sox and the Red Sox, it's your team.
Well, I wouldn't be as nervous in Baltimore because they're only drawing 4,500 fans.
Correct.
See that?
And nobody's listening.
All time low at Camden Yards.
How about that?
The other day. But I'm just, because it's my team, that's why I got butterflies in anticipation. And by the way, I got butterflies, you know why? Because I care. I care about the team, and I care about the broadcast. So that's what I'm looking for.
Let's talk some semantics here. Let's say there's a no-hitter. We're going into the seventh inning. Are you going to point out to the listener that we were hearing a no-hitter on our air?
I will not. If the Sox are having the no-hitter, I will not. If the other team is, sure, I'll mention every
year. Whoa! You're better than that. Your job is as a reporter to report what's going on.
Well, number one, Connor's doing play-by-play. That's his job, Al. I'm just there to give the analysis and to eat popcorn.
It's for the two of you to chop up what's going on out there. Hey, guess what, Connor? We're in the eighth, and we've got a no-hitter here for Dylan Cease.
Yeah,
I'm not going to say that?
I don't need that peer pressure, no.
What peer pressure?
Especially from you.
The lunatics on social media will go, oh, way to go, hoodie. You cost us the no-hitter. If I had that kind of power, I'd get the freaking lottery numbers.
Knowing Connor, I'm sure that he'll take care of that for us. and I'll chime in every now and then.
Okay, now let's talk about Kyle Schwarber. Let's say he comes up to bat. Will you point out that he's a beer league softball player?
I will bring that up, as a matter of fact.
Hey, man, so, I just speak the facts.
Well, this is about me speaking the facts now, pal. You step out of the way. This is my spotlight.
That was a shot at me.
Yeah, that's fine. I will tell you that I will say that. I will chime in by saying some would say he's a beer league softball player. I'll mention that as a drop in.
Are you going to use that Pat Hughes voice?
Yes.
Will you take an inning off? Do you have in your contract that, like Pat Hughes, you get a nap?
Do you take the fifth inning off?
No, I will be there all nine because I care about the game and I'm keeping score. So, of course, I want to be out. I don't have someone just take my scorecard, fill it out. I need a nap. On the Cubs Radio Network.
Wow.
Are there any names on either team that you're kind of, you know, sketchy in pronouncing
that we
can help you with right now?
No. I know my Sox team backwards and forwards.
Well, how about the other Sox team?
Which one?
Boston.
What about them?
Do you know all the names?
Oh, sure. By the time I get to the ballpark, I'll know. Now, you know, what's funny is about national TV games, the Red Sox are on so often that I've seen a lot of Red Sox games, too, because they're the 6 o'clock game. Like, the Sox are 7, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the East Coast feed, I'm watching a ton of Red Sox-Rays games. So, and by the way, the Red Sox just beat the Rays the other day. So, no, I'm ready.
How many Cap and Jay Hood show references can we work in 9 innings?
I can get at least 3, right?
Gotta have more.
3 in 9 innings? That's almost insulting to the show.
I'm talking about mine. I'm not worried about Cap's.
And you guys sound like you haven't listened to a White Sox broadcast. There's a lot of sponsorships that Connor and Hoodie have to work through throughout the game, friends.
It's a lot. It is a lot.
Drizzly first pitch. You've got, you know, lots of opportunities. The IDOT call to the pen. There's a lot of stuff needs to be taken care of.
Sure. The references will be there. I will take care of the Cap and J-Hood audience. You don't worry about that while I do the game. I'll mention it. Here's Alex Verdugo. He's due.
While he was in town with the Dodgers prior to the trade to Boston, he was at Lou Malnati's making pizzas.
Yep. That won't be mentioned.
Okay.
Because it's a Connie's broadcast.
Or at a Beggars, I think. Is Beggars a big White Sox sponsor, too?
I'll see when I see the ad book.
Can you tell me a little bit? This is an old Pat Ron bit.
Sure.
Tell me about, I don't know, Hirokazu Sawamura.
Not sure if you said that properly.
I'm not either.
We might send you to HR after that.
Tell me about Darwinzen Hernandez. Kind of a name is Darwinzen, Connor?
Well, he's got a good fastball. We know that. You know, and he's got a good change.
Where did we get this guy from?
We got him from the draft. Or was he with a different ball club? I don't know.
Sano, they asked him, Pat goes, tell us about Ryan Dempster. Where did we get this guy, Pat? We've had him for 6 years, Ron. He's been here.
That's the best.
He's from Venezuela, and he's got a good curveball. Watch the fastball. It's very good.
Santa would literally go in the other booth at like 1:10. The game starts at 1:20.
Yes.
Hey, what's this guy throw for you guys? He's got a good curveball. He struggles with his command, plus fastball and a changeup. Tell us about Jonathan Hood.
Oh.
He struggles with his command. He's got a curveball plus fastball, blah, blah, and a changeup.
That's right.
Just like parroting it.
That's right.
It was great.
But he did his homework. Even if it was just a minute before, he did his homework. So I think Mike Thomas, I think Brooks Boyer and the White Sox were just having me on the broadcast. That's going to be fun tomorrow night with Connor.
It'll be a lot of fun. And you've got, when I was giving you the bullpen arms, because we were talking about Dallas Keuchel and his struggles,
yeah.
I forgot one name. I gave you 5.
Yep.
Hendricks, Kimbrel, Tapera, Bummer, Crochet, Kopech. That's 6 guys.
And Raymond Burr.
That's 7 guys.
Yes.
Where are you going to pitch Dallas Keuchel in the bullpen?
Well,
unless you're getting your head kicked in.
Well, that was Jeff's question. Jeff asked me on Friday, What do you do with Dallas Keuchel? Is there a possibility, shot or no shot, he makes the roster for the playoffs? At least that first round. And if you already have two lefties, do you need three? Because in Keuchel's situation, he'd be a long man. That's not necessary because you got Kopech if you need a long man.
Correct.
So,
I mean,
he just doesn't make it.
I gave you six bullpen guys. Let's assume health. Giolito, Cease, Lynn. Who am I missing?
You named them all, right? You didn't? Did you say Burr? What about Burr?
You talking about starters? Or are you talking about?
So the only one, Cease, Lynn, Giolito,
Rodon.
Oh, Carlos Rodon.
We don't know what Rodon's situation is.
Let's assume he's back.
Yeah.
That's 10 pitchers.
And you know what? The way he threw the other day, I mean, we have to see what happens, but Jimmy Lambert, his stuff plays better out of the pen than Keuchel, right?
I think that's fair.
I mean, I don't.
You see who the White Sox just signed to a deal? He's pitching in their minor league camp. I think he's pitching in Winston-Salem or one of those. Did you see this, Jeff, who they just inked?
I don't know.
Guy who has high leverage, the highest leverage experience of anyone on that staff.
Who is that?
Carl Edwards Jr. They handed him the ball in the 10th inning of Game 7.
I understand that.
And he was out there, and the White Sox just signed him.
Just an extra arm, sure.
Throws hard.
But back to the point, though, I'm not sure what Keuchel fits in the postseason. Again, you have Hendricks and Kimbrel locked in. You got Tapera and Bummer.
Wait.
Crochet.
Ronaldo Lopez. Did we say him?
We didn't even mention him.
Michael Kopech, right?
That's 11 pitchers without Keuchel.
Well, some guys are just not going to make it. Right? I mean, you're going to have a little bit more offense than pitching, and especially in that first round of the playoffs, right?
No question.
Okay, well, I mean, some guys just won't make it. I think Keuchel's among them.
Completely agree.
And maybe Ruiz doesn't make it and Lopez does. You just want your best out there. That's the point.
The White Sox depth chart right now, and again, this can change because of health, locks Giolito, Cease, Rodon, Lynn, Lopez. That's five. Hendricks, Kimbrel, Crochet, Bummer is 9. Kopech is 10. Tapera is 11.
Maybe no Ruiz in that spot.
Correct. Then it's Lambert, Ruiz, Keuchel, probably.
I guess.
I already gave you 11.
Yeah,
Grandal and Zavala is 13. Abreu is 14. Hernandez, Garcia, 16. Moncada, 17. Anderson, 18. Garcia, I already counted him. We're at 18.
Aloy.
Vaughn, 19. Aloy, 20.
Robert.
Billy Hamilton, if he's healthy, is going to be on there as a speed guy, is 21.
Yep.
Robert, 22.
Goodwin.
Engel, if he's healthy, 23. Goodwin, 24.
Yeah, and Andrew Vaughn or Gavin Sheets.
Well, he said Vaughn. Sheets, though, will be your left-handed power bat off the bench.
There's 25. There's your roster. There's no Keuchel.
No Mendick, yeah.
That's another guy who gives you no versatility.
No Mendick.
There's a lot of questions, man. Do the Bears have a major concern on the defensive line, which is supposed to be the strength of the team? That's next.
Zach Collins.
David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood. Welcome, fans. This is Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the new ESPN Chicago app.
The injury report for the Bears. They'll put another one out later today. The injury report at the conclusion of yesterday's practice read like this. Eddie Goldman, knee ankle, did not practice. Jimmy Graham was a did not practice, but was just a resting Veterans Day. No worries there. But these are Joel Iwebunye, limited with a shoulder injury.
No.
I think I got that right this time.
No, you didn't, but go ahead. Joel Iwebunye.
Okay, Iwebunye. Shoulder, limited. Mac, groin, limited. Mooney, back, limited. Quinn, back, limited. That is more than a little concerning, especially when you look at the Rams injury report. Nobody of note on it at all.
Smokescreen or real? I think because the Bears are so forthcoming, I guess these are real. You know how Belichick used to do it. He used to sandbag everybody. Brady was on the list every week.
Yep.
Questionable.
Tom Brady, questionable me.
Like, what do you mean questionable? You're not fooling anybody with that after a while. But, you know, injuries are a big concern for us as Bears fans because we want to have the best on the field for game one. What we talked about all summer was the amount of injuries that the Bears had. It was a mass unit out there. It's like, okay, let's not do the injuries again. I know it's part of football, but not before week one. Let's have everybody out there as healthy as possible and ready to go. You talked so much about Khalil Mack, and you were able to get intel about Khalil Mack and what he went through the last year plus as far as injuries. Man, I want that guy to be as healthy as possible because when he's right, he is a monster.
Monster.
And a top 10 player overall in the league.
Correct.
But if you can't get to the quarterback, you're just a moribund defensive player.
Right.
That's a problem. Well, I want them to get to the I think that maybe I'm more on the defense than you are because – You believe that this defensive line can be able to get to the quarterback for once.
I do.
And I'm not sure. The names say that they can, but I'm not sure.
They got to prove it. They're in prove it mode. The Eddie Goldman injury, of all the things that I listed, is the most concerning. Because if Mack was truly injured, he wouldn't be listed as limited. He would have been listed as did not practice.
Mm-hmm.
Mooney with the back would have been listed as did not practice. Limited means, well, they're at least out there.
Yeah.
So let's find out what happens today. My prediction is Eddie Goldman will not practice again today. I think you'll get Graham back. That's just a veteran day. There's a bunch of guys that just get throughout the league, get veterans days. Andrew Whitworth, their starting left tackle for the Rams. Non-injury resting veteran day. That's how you just manage guys' bodies, period.
You know what I'd like to see, Cap? I'd like to see a surprise offensively for the Bears. I don't mean scoring or scheme. I don't mean that. I mean a player that's a surprise. Because without even looking at the depth chart, it's a Robinson, it's Mooney, it's the two tight ends in Kmet and Jimmy Graham. Who's the other guy that could be the surprise, that other receiver that can get the tough first down? I like to know, like, that would be Tariq Cohen if he was healthy, right?
Correct.
We won't see him for a while on the pup list.
I think you're going to see more out of Damian Williams than you expect.
As a receiver, catching the tough pass out of the flat, like a 5-yard pass, and then run after the catch?
That and supplanting David Montgomery at times.
Mm-hmm.
He's fresh legs. He's looking for an opportunity. Yeah, I think Matt is going to be, Tommy Waddle was saying yesterday, hey, man, just come out of this game. Let me see a commitment to run the football. I think you're going to see that.
Will they use Montgomery as a pass catcher also? Will they do that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the element I'm looking for, that little extra wrinkle. Like, I know the receivers and know the tight ends. I'd like to know if there's something extra we're going to see from this offense.
Do you think by halftime you're going to be watching the game going, our offense looks way better? Or do you think you're going to be at halftime going, oh, God, it's 17-0, we're down?
Yeah, it won't be that bad. Not at halftime. But I expect, but first of all, I don't expect anything in the first quarter because that's the Bears.
Yeah, they never score in the first quarter.
So that sounds like 6 or 9 points to me. That's what it sounds like to me by the time we get to the halftime of this game.
And how many are they scoring?
10.
So it's a tight game at the half.
I say so. First game.
Danny thinks it's going to be... I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think Danny thinks the Bears are going to get crushed.
Crushed.
Like, how bad crushed?
But at least by 10.
That's the end. I don't think that's going to be that way at the half.
Danny, what's it at the half in your world?
I think the Rams go into halftime at least up 7. I don't. We haven't seen Andy Dalton lead the first team offense. We barely saw the first team offense in the preseason, so it's hard to say that they're going to be able to put something together. I have zero faith in Matt Nagy, zero faith in his play calling, zero faith in Andy Dalton, zero faith in that offensive line. I just don't see how this Bears offense is going to muster up much against this really solid Rams defense. So I don't see how the Bears are going to make this a competitive game. I see the Rams going into halftime at least up seven, at least up a touchdown.
See, that's fair for him to say because of what we have not seen offensively. Danny's just basing it on just the numbers and what we've seen. And again, a lot of this is Mitch and Foles and all that. But still, has the scheme changed? Is it any different? Is the offensive line going to give Dalton time to throw? I look at it like this. Like, this is why I'm fearful of the defense. It's not like we don't know who Matt Stafford is, right? He throws from every angle, mm-hmm. underneath, over the top, three-quarter. I mean, he's very crafty, right?
Yes.
Gets the ball out quickly also. And so that's why I'm afraid about the defense being on their heels a little bit because maybe they don't get time to get to Stafford. That's not Georgia's defense out there. It's the Bears.
That's why it's important to score early. Got to score early.
But yes, because your playbook in play one, you have them going downfield to Mooney, a big bomb.
Can you imagine?
That's what you told me.
No, I said to you, wouldn't it be cool? I didn't say they're doing it.
I'm saying if your playbook, you would have a bomb first.
Yeah, shock the you know what out of
yeah.
it. Whoa!
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Touchdown, Darnell Mooney.
Right.
77 yards.
Right.
7-0. Chicago.
You want shock and awe. You want the big bomb early on first down.
That single play, if that happened and Dalton hit him, the entire Bears fan base.
Whoa!
We're back!
It's about time we got a, you know what I'm saying?
A real quarterback.
That's what it is.
That's exactly. What it is.
I like to see that too.
Yeah,
Kev.
By time we get us a real, you know what I'm saying? Let's go, man.
I'm not sure what you mean.
Let's go, man.
What do you mean, sir?
Oh, he got us a black quarterback!
No, he's not. There's no black quarterback. No, oh. Jeff, there's no black quarterback.
He's the red rifle. Jeff, what do you have going on Sunday night?
Wait, so you don't think there's going to be a Fields package that he comes in and throws the bomb to Mooney? That's the only scenario I see Darnell Mooney catching a 77-yard touchdown pass, not off of
Andy Dalton actually does throw a good deep ball.
He used to throw a good deep ball when A.J. Green was going up and getting it.
There we go.
I'll see. I'll hold my... We'll see. I have to wait and see what he does in the Bears uniform. I think it's going to be a rough go for the Bears offensively. I think Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, they're finally going to have fans at SoFi. I don't like the way this is setting up for the Bears. And then, by the way, I think Sean McVay is going to have a lot of time showing off his brand new toy in Matt Stafford. So,
oh yes, you remember we asked Wiederer, right? Your thoughts on McVay and Nagy, where you place the? I mean, McVay, I won't say light years ahead of Nagy, but he's had more success, obviously.
No question.
As an offensive guru,
no question.
So that's just, I'm a little concerned about the defense.
Well, we are going to get Marcus Spears' perspective, former NFLer. You see him on Get Up and on SportsCenter. Marcus Spears joins us to break down the Bears in the NFL next.
Cap J. Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J. Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Marcus Spears is awesome on television.
We knew we had him on because you're wearing your sissy blue jacket today.
Excuse me?
Yeah, your sissy blue jacket.
This is awesome.
As the LSU coach would say about UCLA.
Yeah, exactly. I love that LSU coach. I'm a huge fan.
Ed Ogeron is awesome.
He is. I've gotten to interview him. I like that dude.
Yeah.
I think he'd be fun to play for. But Marcus Spears is one of those guys who's taken his personality, which he brought to the NFL and to football, and brought it to TV, and now he brings it to our show, and he's kind enough to join us. Marcus, good morning. How are you today?
Fellas, what's going on, man? Good to talk to you guys in the Chi-Town.
It's good to talk to you. So all anyone here And apparently it's all anyone at ESPN wants to do is dissect Justin Fields, Andy Dalton, day after day after day. What do you think about Matt Nagy saying this is not about what's best for Matt Nagy? This is about what's best for the Bears long term and Justin Fields.
You know, it's great for Justin Fields if he feels like he's not ready. But Matt Nagy conceding that he may not be a part of the plans in the future because what he's doing at the quarterback spot, y'all know, I think is outrageous. But the bottom line is, it's something about what they've been seeing every day telling them that Justin is not ready. And I guess I had to come to the conclusion that that has to be the situation, because when you talk about talent, and even in the offseason when Andy and Justin had an opportunity to play, I thought it was clear as day who the best quarterback was on the roster. And I don't think there's much of a disagreement there. I just think Matt Nagy is playing it safe. I don't agree with that. But at the end of the day, man, that is what they feel. I hope, listen, guys, I hope that is what they feel like is best for the team and the best position to give them an opportunity to win. If it's about preserving Justin Fields or worrying about ruining a quarterback that's young, or a situation where you told Andy Dalton that he was going to be the starter and have an opportunity to play, and if those are the reasons why Justin Fields isn't starting, Matt Nagy ain't got to worry about the damn future. He won't be there. It'll be another coach making the decision to put Justin Fields in because he's the best guy to lead this team from the quarterback spot.
Marcus, the thing that I'm concerned about is the locker room, and you can speak to this better than we can regarding how a locker room looks at a veteran in Dalton who's been there and done that, and we know what he can do, versus a young guy in Fields that you know is the future. What's the other teammates thinking about that in a scenario like this?
Well, look, man, one, in Andy Dalton's situation, you have respect for veterans, man, who's doing it for a long time, and all the things that I've heard, Andy is a good dude. People like him. He's been a good teammate when he was in Cincinnati. Do speak highly of him. But one thing about the locker room, man, and I'm glad you asked that question, is if all of those guys clearly think Justin is the best guy to put them in a situation to win games, because that's the thing that I've been screaming on television. It's not just about making this decision between Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. It's 51 other guys you got responsibility to as well if you Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So, the bottom line is this, man. It's a fractured locker room if those guys think Justin Fields is the best option for them to win games. Now, if they think that the veteran presence of Andy and what they've seen from Andy day in and day out and what they're hoping translates on the field from whatever positive things they've taken away from Andy being in there, then all is well. And we all know the game. Like, winning is cure-all for everything, right? But if you lose and you start getting your head bashed in, it's going to be dudes in that locker room looking at Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace like, hey, man, let's see if the young guy can do a better job. And if that movement is not happening, that's the quickest route to lose them.
Marcus, what do you think of the Bears' defense? Because if you take the average age of their starters, it's 24.5. But then you look and you go, well, the cool and key dudes out there – Trevathan's on injured reserve right now. Mac is over 30. Quinn's over 30. Hicks is over 30. What do you think of their defense?
Well, I mean, you talk about the age. I think Khalil going to have a bounce-back year. I think he's taking it personally. Akeem is a big physical presence, man. And as far as D tackles, he is a top-tier echelon when he's healthy. And obviously, you start thinking about age. Roquan is coming along. Obviously, Robert Quinn needs to be the guy that they thought he would be coming over from Dallas and having the type of impact on that. I feel good about this defense. And the reason I feel good about it is one thing that people may look at negatively. It's a lot of veterans and a lot of experience on this defense. And they understand how to play in situational football, especially when you potentially have an offense that's not going to produce like you want them to, or like you would love to have them do. So, look, everybody talks about the Chicago Bears, and we've been focused on Justin Fields and Andy Dalton and the saga playing out from the quarterback spot. If this is going to be a playoff team like they were last year, and the identity of this team, it runs straight through this defense. That's the focal point. of the Chicago Bears right now. Yeah, it's some talent offensively. David Montgomery went over 1,000 yards. Obviously, I think Allen Robinson is a one. I think everybody thinks that based on what he's been doing for the last 3 years there. But the bottom line is that defense is going to carry the banner for the Chicago Bears. And I think if they have any shot at getting in the playoffs, if this Andy Dalton experience doesn't go well, it's going to be because those guys are forcing turnovers. They're giving their offense short fields, and they are able to put their imprint on the game. It'll be two or three plays where you look and say, okay, we won that game because our defense set us up in the right situation. That's what they're going to have to be this year, and they have the guys to do it, man.
So, Marcus, this big matchup for the Bears on Sunday night against the Rams. What do you think of the Rams now with their new quarterback in Matthew Stafford? How do you think it's going to work out?
Oh, I think it's going to work out great, man. Listen, you know, the one thing, you know, we all talking about Tampa potentially going 17-0. I don't know if people remember in Week 11, the Rams beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they were in their flow.
So did the Bears.
They figured out a lot of things. Not the Bears, I'm sorry. The Rams.
Yeah, and the Bears did as well.
Yeah, the Rams beat Tampa as well.
The Bears did as well. But talking about the Rams, from an offensive standpoint, and McVay thinks that Stafford is going to elevate them even beyond that. The issue he had with Jared Goff was that he thought he couldn't overcome the X's and O's. If everything was clean and clear, Jared Goff could play at a high level. What Matthew Stafford will do for this team, because he's been in Detroit, suffering with an organization and a franchise through all types of change, from head coaching to general manager to identity and how they want to play football, now he's going to be supported by a really good defense. Obviously, we know that. And then when you look at the offensive side, having Sony Michel is a pickup in that zone scheme is great. But Matt Stafford should lift this team, and I have them with an opportunity to be there in the end in the Super Bowl. They have an opportunity. Tampa is obviously the favorite, and some other teams are in there, and Green Bay, obviously. But the top three teams for me in the NFC right now, today, is Tampa, the Rams, and Green Bay.
So the league released this morning through their medical staff that 93.5% of players are vaccinated fully. 99% of all other football staff are vaccinated at least one shot, if not fully. Yet you have a team like Buffalo. You have a team, Minnesota. Their coach called them out multiple times. Do you think the vaccine issue could drive a wedge into a locker room, or no, guys will just, they'll work around it?
Oh, absolutely it could drive a wedge, especially if you're losing a key guy on your way to trying to have success. And look, man, it's all good in the offseason to say, hey, I respect everybody's approach to the vaccine. I respect how guys are handling it. But paychecks change narratives. And now we in today, Thursday, tonight, Tampa, Dallas Cowboys. Direct deposits hit on Tuesday and Wednesdays. And when guys' personal choices have the potential to stand in the way of that beyond football, yeah, it'll be some issues. It'll drive some wedges. So, look, man, for the unvaccinated guys, they have to, all of these guys have to be very careful. But the unvaccinated guys especially, they have to be more cautious than anybody that's vaccinated to make sure that they can get from week to week without getting COVID, man, because it's 10 days. You're done for a week for sure. And then you have to test negatively, and then the effects potentially of having it. So, look, I'm vaccinated. I'm a proponent of getting vaccinated, but I'm also a proponent of guys making their own decisions, but realize that those decisions have consequences, not only to you as a personally, not only to the people around you, but also when we're talking about the NFL, it has an impact on your football team and your availability. And I don't know when availability became such a small order in the NFL. It's always been a big deal to have your guys available. And when you have these possibilities of not having them, that's something that you take into account, and that's something that the rest of your team who potentially are vaccinated, or more majority of your team is vaccinated, gonna be looking at you real stupid if you have to miss 10 days because you're unvaccinated.
Marcus, as a Georgia guy and an SEC guy, I will tell you that hurt my heart to see LSU, your Tigers, go down to the Bruins. All right. All right, what the hell, man? Don't do that to the conference, man. Don't do that. Don't do that. Yeah, man, what the hell happened there? Can you get past McNeese on Saturday?
Look, they lost. They lost to UCLA, and UCLA played well. But the bottom, the thing that had me peed off was the fact that we lost at the line of scrimmage. Now, I'm going to watch Chip Kelly and this team the rest of the way, because we may be discounting UCLA by talking about how bad LSU looked. And I know the whole narrative of Pac-12 and SEC, and I still believe we should never lose to a Pac-12 team in the trenches. But I don't want to dismiss the fact that UCLA not only had a great plan, but they had some players out there that could flat out get after it. Look, man, when LSU loses, I go down in the dumps, and I potentially am going to have to watch my Cowboys lose tonight. Mm. So if y'all ever want me to come back on this show, leave LSU out of it.
Hey, man. Hey, turn on that Georgia film. Tell the LSU. That's how you get it done at the line of scrimmage. No, right there.
No doubt, man. Them big boys up front. Eight, man. Clemson did a phenomenal job on defense, too.
Yeah.
They just, both of them offenses got me nervous, man.
Let me just tell you, I love Ed Orgeron. I'd love to play for that dude.
Oh, man. You know, Ed O is the rah-rah guy. He gets everybody going, gets everybody ready to play. But he has to surround himself with some coordinators, some guys that know what the hell they're doing. And it didn't look like that week one. So we'll see what happens going forward here.
Pick on the Bear-Ram game. Give us your score.
Man, I'm going to take the Rams. I'm going to take the Rams 24-17 over the Bears. And I think, guys, I think, look, maybe it's wishful thinking, but I hope at some point we get to see a package of something from Justin Fields.
I hope you're right. Have a great day, man. We appreciate you. Keep up the great work. You're awesome.
All right, fellas. Thank y'all, man. Y'all have a good one.
You too. Right. There he is, Marcus Spears, pride and joy of LSU, the Cowboys, the Ravens.
Do you know that Danny Zetterman and Carmen DeFalco are going to be part of something very special? It'll be the Monster Jam at the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Fans will witness a fierce battle for the event championship, with each skilled Monster Jam athlete tearing up the dirt with gravity-defying defeats in 12,000-pound Monster Jam trucks going head-to-head for points in freestyle, skills challenge, racing competitions, and more. You can get your tickets at Ticketmaster.com. Caller 10, regular line, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. If you want to go in a special suite with Carmen and Zed for the Monster Jam at Allstate Arena, be caller 10. We'll hook you up with tickets. Our way of saying thanks for listening to Cap and Jay Hood.
All right, up next, our good friend, the CEO of Bernie's Book Bank, Darren Utnick, on the Unity Walk we'll be doing on the 23rd, 25 miles. You can help. Be right back.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
Is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Darren Utnick is the CEO of Bernie's Book Bank.
.org.
Berniesbookbank.org.
Yep.
He and I will be, for the second consecutive year, doing what we call Walk as One Chicago, our Unity Walk. I wear a half Cubs, half White Sox jersey, and we raise money for his amazing organization.
You going to roll that jersey out again?
Yes.
You didn't give that away?
No.
No mothball, dusty thing?
It's in good shape. It's been on a hanger. It's ready to go. Oh, so, Darren, are you ready for this 25-mile jaunt that will start, I believe, at United Center? And we're going to hit every stadium in the Chicago area.
I am. I'm getting ready. I've been putting in my miles, getting my steps. Mm-hmm. We went to Fleet Feet. We got fitted.
We got fitted. That was big. Oh, my God, did that change my life.
It's awesome.
It was huge.
Comfort, right? Comfort. Yeah.
Comfort over style, yep. And I'm really excited. And I just can't thank you guys enough for all your support. It's great seeing you guys in person. But really, thanks all the listeners, because I think this is going to be a big event this year.
I hope so. We raised $100,000 last year, and we're trying to top that this year for your organization. Tell us what the genesis of Bernie's Book Bank is. What's the biggest thing they do?
Well, we're laser focused on one thing and one thing only, and that's increasing book ownership to underserved children. And that's what we do. I'm super proud of our organization. We've been around 10 years. We're getting ready to distribute our 20 millionth book this October. But during the pandemic, we did 1.3 million, and we did that without any volunteers in our facility because of COVID. Now that we're welcoming volunteers back, we're going to get that number back up, 1.3, 1.5, but we're going to get it up to about 3 million books a year to 300, 350,000 children.
The reason why this resonates with me, and I was learning about it last year, is that there's still certain places around the city and around the state that doesn't have Wi-Fi. So the ability to have books, you know, like how we came up, and you have books to be able to read and be able to learn, that really means something to a young person.
Absolutely. I think you guys, two successful gentlemen, right? I think you both would agree.
Mid. Yeah. Yeah, this is the worst of the success. It's radio.
Right,
yeah.
But reading is still fundamental.
It is.
Right? It's fundamental to everything you do.
Yeah.
And that's why book ownership is so critical. And these children, so in the areas that we serve, there's usually one book for every 300 children. So that book's not getting checked out. No. They're not getting to utilize that book. They're not getting ready to read. They're not getting ready for when they get into school. And so we have to change that. And here's the easiest thing about it. It's a solvable problem. We know how to solve it. Mm-hmm. We'll just increase the book ownership, right? We'll get them reading ready so when they're in school, they're ready to go. And the stat that I always tell is the state of Arizona bases their penitentiary needs on fourth grade test scores. If that doesn't scare everybody listening today, it should, because we know how to solve that problem.
Get them books.
Get them books.
Now, this is not from the strip club the other night. This is fine money that we've accumulated because of Cap's coughing.
So whether it's me, it could literally be the biggest. We talked to Matt Nagy in the middle of the interview. He went, and you hear just underneath, Hood goes, that's a fine.
Yes. A lot of that's from the La Russa interview also. Because he coughed like 20 times in the interview with
correct.
Us.
Correct.
And I appreciate that so much. I got a little gift for you, Hoodie. Because, you know, I know that you know how to read and I know how talented you are, but I want to give you a new job.
Okay.
Instead of morning show host, there you go, my friend. The new judge. I just appointed you.
How about that?
The judge for Bernie's book bag.
Yes, because he is always on top of that fine money.
Oh, wow.
Look at that.
I know it's hard in radio, but we've got some goodies
He's
in
got
there.
A judge's robe.
This is a robe here.
And that's got to be.
And a turkey leg.
A gavel.
No turkey leg?
No turkey leg.
Oh, that's too bad.
A little too early.
It's never too early for me, pal. I'll tell you that right now.
He's got a judge's gavel and a judge's robe. So every time you hear my partner go, that's a fine.
That's right.
All the money goes to Bernie's book bank. So
that's right.
All kidding aside,
hey,
we ask for your help. The 23rd, there'll be a group of us walking 25 miles, and we're going to start at United Center, hit guaranteed rate, Wrigley, and the college, all the different colleges, and we are going to have participation from the Red Stars and the Sky and UIC and Loyola and Northwestern. It's going to be really, really cool.
I've got a BerniesBookBank.org seal on mine, pal.
How about that?
So now I'm definitely going to be there. Here come the judge. That's me.
It.
That's going to be me.
You got it.
How about that?
So,
I always want to be Judge Mathis.
There you go. Judge Hood.
Case dismissed. Have a good day, crackhead. I love that. Thank you, Bernie.
Go to BerniesBookBank.org. BerniesBookBank.org, and you can make a donation there very quickly, like one cup of coffee.
How about that, Carm?
Just the price of a cup of coffee can provide books for kids.
4 books. Price of a pizza, 12 books. And that's how we're going to get it. We did it last year. We got up to 100,000, you and I. And so I'm hoping that all the listeners want to, you know, participate, chip in, help us meet our goal, but also come out and see us. It's a fun day. We get some athletes. We get some celebs out. You know, Hoodie was out last year. You want to rub elbows with the Honorable Judge Hoodie?
That's right.
You can now.
With the rope.
Good. All right, so go to BerniesBookBank.org. The event is on September 23.
You're out of order.
You're out of order. The whole place is out of order.
The whole place is out of order.
That's it.
How about that?
Darren, thank you for coming down here.
Thank you guys so much. We really appreciate ESPN 1000 support.